What is going on, man? It's your boy Crimson. I finally found a clip with that narcissistic smile that I've been desperately trying to fucking find. And an example of how fucking Melina debates and argues. It's the exact same way that I said. She'll pose a question and then fucking answer it immediately. And then... or... This other style that I didn't fucking quite see is like, she asks the question, Myron answers it, and then she fucking answers it anyway. Unreal.
Ask you a follow up question on this. So, this has to do with dealing with men versus dealing with women. So, we run valuetainment around here. Anytime that I want to go tell some of the guys, hey, need you to do this. Hey, listen, it's raining out. We're going to need some towels. We're going to need some umbrellas. Hey, for the most part, the guy's like, all right, on it. Now, sometimes when I talk to women, this is whether it's at Valuetainment, whether it's anyplace else, I'm like, hey, need you to do this. They will say things like, can you talk nicer to me when you do this?
Yes.
Can you say that a little bit nicer? I didn't like the way you made me feel. So me, as a leader, as someone that's trying to steer the ship, I have to be cognizant of like, oh fuck, time for me to talk to the girl. Let me be nicer. Yes. And then, you know, approach that a different way, which comes foreign to me. Like, it's not like I wish I could be like, hey, baby girl, clean that up. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, all right, keep it moving. I wish I could do that way. But I've realized that the way that I can speak to men is different than how I speak to women. And that's just, I mean, the ladies on the panel are sort of nodding. So how do you distinguish that? Meaning, like, we're 100% on the same page. It's raining outside. Go get some fucking umbrellas. I don't need to be like, so it'd be really nice of you if you could get an umbrella. Like, I don't want to have to do that, but I find myself having to do it. So how do you deal with that when you're, whether it's business, personal relationships? Like, how do you understand that when
I'm asking?
Obviously,
the workplace is going to be different than an intimate relationship, right? But, I mean, there's some things that overlap and some things that don't. With your girl, you don't explain yourself. Hey, this is what it is. There's no, I don't negotiate with women. I don't negotiate with terrorists. This is what it is. In a workplace, obviously.
Got you saying. So your relationship is separate than work. Got it.
Like, there's some things that overlap, but in general, like, you don't sit there and negotiate with your girl because that implies that you guys are equal. And you are
not. Wait, can I ask a question? I'm really curious. So if you go on a date with a girl and she asks you, what kind of marriage do you want with someone in the future? How do you pitch that? Like, how do you pitch your marriage should look like? Is that what you say to them?
I tell them you're going to have to share me with three others.
And just like, be my bang maid? Huh? I want a bang maid. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, you see that? Right fucking there. This is the thing, is like, her and Destiny have this fucking goofy ass smile after they fucking ask a question. And she's using all of Destiny's tactics, all of his debating tactics, which is to ask a question, pose a question, and then when they answer it, they'll answer back with the smart aleck reply, or with the smart aleck reframing of what you just said. This is a common abuse tactic that fucking narcissists use. How many times have you had a situation like that where you're in the middle of fucking having a discussion, and then they ask you a question? Let's see, what did my ex used to say? I remember she always used to ask it. But what if we ever come across a situation where, you know, like, we're pulled over on the side of the road, and you know, you need to fix something and you don't know how to fix it. And it's like, well, fuck, that's what the internet's for. Like, oh, so you're just going to go and do that? You know what I mean? You know? That whole thing. Oh, so you're just going to go do this other thing and you're not going to try to play? Blah, 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 blah. And then that fucking smile right there, because she knows. I saw this smile so fucking often. She knows she's going to try to get to him. And you'll see this pattern of behavior happen often in this small, short, 4-minute video. It's fucking insane.
You would just just say, like, I want a bang maid, pretty much.
Say one more time.
You would just want to have a bang maid. Like, you want an assistant, bang, like fucking. You want to fuck someone that assists you. That's what? that's your partnership.
I love how that's what the only piece
well,
of
Well, that's what it seems like
that.
To me. Or you can explain it.
Well, the thing is, I understand that as a man, I need to have the leverage. I need to be the leader. I need to be the dominant for her to actually respect me and want to be with me and submit to me. So knowing this, I have to have certain mannerisms and behaviors that stay congruent to that. So the thing that women are really good at detecting is incongruencies. If I purport myself to be a certain way, and then after a while she realizes this guy is kind of a pussy, blah, 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 that's going to make her get turned off even faster. Because now she sees, okay, this guy isn't for real. So you got to be 10 toes down with females all the time.
So you're doing it because you want her to feel like she's under you, pretty much. So that's why you're giving her orders?
What?
Like, because you're above her, right?
Who said that?
You're the leader, so she's above or under.
Well, yeah. That's just how it is. I mean, if you're a leader, someone has to be subordinate to you.
So it's not
men,
like you actually
women,
need an assistant.
Men,
it's
men
more
and women
that
are
you
not
just
equal.
Need to make her feel like she is.
No.
For
men,
her to stay.
Here's
so she
thing.
Feels trapped, like she can't do anything else.
Nope.
Second time I caught her. You see what I mean? And what was the question? She's posing it, and so it seems like it's one-sided, right? So it seems like she's empathizing with him, and then at the last minute, she'll fucking turn the tables and make it seem as though it's underhanded. So you're the leader, right? You're the pack animal, right? And you're creating all this leadership skill, right? Right, and then you try to make her feel trapped, like she has nowhere to go. My ex used to pull this bullshit on me. You know what I used to do? I used to feed into it, and then I would watch her fucking crumble. That only works with intimate people, right? Or people that you're intimately involved with. With her, you expose her for her ignorance, for her stupidity, for her childish tactics, and you compare her to a child. You outline the behavior, right? So in other words, like, she wants you to enter into her space and you just outline it. Like, hey, this is the boundary that you've created. Like, you compared me to somebody who's abusive. You know, you compared me to somebody who's this, and I'm just telling you, the lifestyle that I choose is this other thing. The same way that you choose to fuck other people. Which is disgusting. You know, you choose to bring in other people's bodily fluids into your relationship. I choose to have multiple women. I mean, I don't want anybody in my fucking life. But you outline it. You say our fucking mutual paths, or our paths are very mutual. The only difference is you don't accept what I want, and you call it abusive, and I don't see, you know, your shit, and I call it disgusting. It's diseased. But it never ceases to amaze me, like narcissistic abuse. The only difference is like she's actually pretty intelligent, her and her husband. And they love debating because that is their ability, that is their playground to abuse people. For those of you who aren't familiar with what I'm talking about, there's four styles of narcissistic abuse. One of them is, you know, physical. They need to look physically appealing. They're the people that are constantly doing their makeup, constantly tailoring their, you know, looking their best. You know, constantly combing their hair, always worried about their looks, always worried about calories and all this other shit. And then you have the intellectual, which they constantly, excuse me, goddamn, They constantly need to flex. They constantly need to flex how much knowledge they know. Oh, look at me. I've got this. I've got that. I know this. I know that. And this is one of those. She keeps asking a question and then answering it herself. And then she keeps rephrasing and reframing his arguments into something like so fucking abusive, and it's childish. These are childish tactics. This is proof that both Destiny and her were, I mean, Destiny was abused as a kid psychologically. And then fucking Melina. Melina saw that as intellectual, because this older guy is doing it, right? This style of abuse, and she wanted to learn. She wanted to learn from the best. So she fucking stuck with him. This is so often found and seen in relationships where the abuser is smarter than their victim. I see this shit all the fucking time. In fact, my mom was in that situation. My mom revered my father as this like intellectual guy, and he was no fucking smarter than a goddamn ninth grader. The guy champions fucking scholarly behavior. What is it? Scholarly attitudes. And yet he himself isn't a scholar. He'll never come up with an original idea. And like, he was really good at it as being an athlete. But he was just like a terrible scholar. I embraced the other path. I embraced being smart because my dad was dumb. I could sense that. I wanted to outsmart my dad, and one day I did, and it fucking cost me. I think I lied or cheated on a test, and somehow the teacher found out because they fucking ratted me out. My teacher told my dad because my dad wasn't going into college. My dad was going to college, and he held my student paper. What did he say? He found out, and he was holding my student paper to the same degree that they did in college. So he tried to get me for like copywriting and all this other bullshit, and he spanked the shit out of me for it. I didn't give a fuck about any of that. I just wanted to pass the class so I wouldn't have to take it again. I got so sick and tired of that shit. Moving from school to school to school to have to take the same fucking class all over again. Every fucking year. Imagine that. Imagine being in perpetual fucking hell. And I just gave up. It was just like, alright, well, if my teachers are gonna rat me out, then why the fuck would I want to try? If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? So yeah, I gave up. And the other two are material. And the other one is insecurity. Like, one of them is shy and bashful. And then when you get to know them, they're extremely controlling, extremely physically abusive, very, very, you know, very manipulative, self-harming. You know, nothing's ever good. So those four are the narcissistic traits. One's two are overt, right? The other two are covert. One is self-aware. Those are the scariest ones. Those are borderline sociopaths. or excuse me, borderline psychopaths. They play the game very well. But I've had all those characteristics and traits in my family, so I'm able to spot them very, very fucking easy. I don't know what it is about my family that turned them out so, you know, the way that they are. But thankfully, my grandmother was kind enough to see that. And she asked me to start self-reflecting so I wouldn't become like them in the future. I don't know what it is with grandparents. They just have, like, this very beautiful way of finessing the most important information into your psyche so that when you grow up, you don't become a piece of shit. I think my grandmother did a better job of raising me than my parents did. It's fucking sad. Any case, I was able to recognize this pattern of behavior. And so I see it in I don't know what her name is, Melina or some shit. That fucking narcissistic smile never ceases to amaze me. With the half-dead eyes. From so much psychological abuse that she's gone through that nothing surprises her. Nothing intrigues her. Nothing is, like, shocking or gives her any kind of excitement.
No one's putting a gun to her head saying, hey, you have to stay with me.
Yeah.
She could choose to leave at any time.
Okay.
The thing is that when you are that guy, she's not going to go anywhere because she knows that she could be replaced.
So this is what I don't like about hypotheticals, right? Is that you're allowing somebody to enter into your hypothetical frame. And that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster because what you're doing is you're creating like a psychological sparring match. I remember I used to get into these a lot with fucking adults. When I used to go to martial arts class, I used to talk about kung fu, right? And I would tell them, like, you know, they would ask me, what style do you like? And I would just say, like, the eagle. And it's because it had a lot of blocking. It just had, like, its own fucking unique style of just blocking a lot. And I didn't like fighting. Well, that's not true. I loved fighting, but blocking was so, like, interesting to me because it was a path that it was less paved, a path less sought out after, and it was like the most defensive path out of all of them. And to me, that was a really, really, you know, how do I explain it? It was, sorry, I just had a really bad flashback. It was the path that was less, sought out after and the path that was the most effective in my life. To play defensive. And then there's, like, defensive offensive. Where your blocks can actually hit people. They're more like strikes rather than blocks. But they serve two purposes. And I was fascinated by that world of being able to do both at once. You know, it's like the dualistic mindset that I had at the time as a kid. So, you know, I tried to learn it. I wasn't very good at it, but there were some strikes that I learned. So, for example, if somebody's throwing a punch, you target their shoulder because what you're doing is you're creating strength from their punch coming at you, kind of like a left hook, kind of like a hook. And you're stopping it dead in its path, which is the theory. That doesn't really happen in real life. But you're stopping it in mid-path, and you're striking their shoulder, which creates less power over time. So if you do that enough times, you know, you're stopping them from... And then somebody else would fucking counter with, oh, yeah, well, then what I would do is, and then they would fucking talk about, you know, what they would do in that situation. And then I would counter with something that I would do. And then, and we would never spar. And this was such a waste of fucking time. It would constantly fucking happen as a kid. These metaphorical fucking sparring matches. Oh, well, then what I would do is, and then what I would do is, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then I'm going to. And it would just go on and on and on and on and on. Nothing would ever get resolved. Whoa, you know what? My bosses used to pull this shit. Remember when, let's go back. Remember when Melina, when she would say, when she would ask a question and then she would answer it with something really passive aggressive? She would answer her own fucking question. My bosses used to pull that shit. I remember I was doing gardening and the torque from the weed whacker was starting to hurt my fucking arm because my arms were weak as shit from being homeless for goddamn so long. So the weed whacker was like burning out my goddamn arm, my forearms. And I didn't learn that like all you have to do is just put the put a little bit of resistance against it, like against the torque of the weed whacker. And let it counterbalance, you know, let the weed whacker counterbalance on your, how do I explain it? Basically, there's like this, like, one section of the weed whacker where all you gotta do is, you're holding, fuck, how do I explain this? Okay, well, there's a center of the weed whacker that has, like, perfect balance. And you gotta find that balance. Like, you gotta find it. Once you find it, it's easy because all you gotta do is just counterbalance, right? I didn't learn that until fucking almost, like, 2 months in. So in the beginning, like, I was just going up against, like, full fucking force and torque of this thing, trying to control it while being precise with it. And it hurt. Fucking hurt a lot. So in any case, I burned out my forearms and then I couldn't do the rest of the work with the weed whacker. So, you know, I just started using the trimmers because they were less torque on my forearms. And then the fucking wetback goddamn, the wetback fucking, owner, or the boss, he wasn't a boss, he wasn't the owner, he was a boss, he calls me into his office, and I'm like, hey, what's up, and he goes, hey, what's this shit that everybody's telling me that you couldn't do the job, and I just looked at him like, what? And he goes, yeah, you know, people are telling me you couldn't do the job, and he's like, what do you mean? I fucking did it. Did the grass not get cut, or I don't understand. And he said, yeah, well, somebody's out there telling me that you don't know how to use this. And I'm like, well, you can ask them again because I was doing it perfectly fine. I mean, the grass got cut. You should go inspect it before you assume that. So I'm getting ready. And he's like, yeah, they said that you didn't use the weed whacker. I'm like, for a couple minutes to take a break? Like, I don't understand what we're talking about. And he's like, oh, so you can't do the job. And I just looked at him and I said, so are you going to answer the questions for me or I don't understand? And he's like, well, we gave you a task and we gave you equipment to complete that task and you didn't use it. And I was like, for how long? I don't know. I wasn't there. And I was like, exactly. You weren't there. So why the fuck are you asking me these questions? They're like, hey, don't talk to me like that. It's like, no, you're talking to me You're talking fucking down to me, first off. And secondly, you're asking me a question and you're fucking answering it for me. And I just got, like, straight fucking mad at this guy. Because he was pulling the same shit that my fucking parents used to pull on me. And I just remember looking this guy dead in his eyes and I just like, motherfucker, like, go out there and look before you start criticizing my fucking work ethic. The fucking work got done. The only thing that the guys were pissed off at was that we didn't get to the yard on time. We were 15 minutes late to the yard. I mean, to me, it was like, you know, why are you guys taking it out on me? And I even fucking, like, told him, like, the next day, if you guys don't want to fucking get back to the yard late, then stop fucking taking your coffee breaks in the morning. Dude, these motherfuckers would take, like, an hour and a half coffee break. Just sitting around, like, doing jack shit, and then trying to fucking haul ass. Like, trying to finish the job as quick as possible. I literally was like, what the fuck? Like, why? I don't know, dude. They were dumb pieces of shit, honestly. Like, I couldn't stand them. I hated working with fucking Mexicans. I still do. I'm not a fan. I bring a lot of drama. They don't know when to shut the fuck up. And all they want to do is just fucking riff. And then the moment that you fucking fire back some of that good old American fucking hoo-yah, they fucking buckle like a bag of sand. They can't handle it. They can't handle the fucking... They can't handle the swing. So I just stay away from them. It's like when my parents, when I was a kid, I used to play with the other kids. And I was a rough motherfucker, dude. My parents just couldn't fucking tame me. That's why they put me in martial arts, so that they could show me that other people can fucking hit back just as hard. And I would hit back harder. And then the fucking kids who couldn't take it would run to their parents and bitch about not wanting to come back to the fucking martial arts studio. But the ones that could take it were, like, tougher and bigger than I was. So there was, like, this nice balance of, like, learn your place, but learn from us. You know what I mean? Like, we want you to stay here, but, you know, you need to stop acting like a fucking dickhead and fucking kicking too hard. I mean, dude, I was kicking like my fucking life depended on it. But then again, like, it makes sense because my dad was pretty abusive. Remember I told you, like, sorry, I had a really bad flashback? You know what that flashback was? I was a kid in one of the martial arts classes. And my dad got wind that I knocked the wind out of one of the guys. And I felt bad, you know, like, I tried to help him. And then he ran and told my fucking dad. And then my dad took me into another room. And instead of spanking me, he fucking kicked the shit out of me. To the point where my legs couldn't even fucking... I couldn't even walk anymore. Like, he literally... I was like about 8 years old. 7 years old. And he kicked me so hard that I fell forward. And then he got me up again and he kicked me again. And it was with his shins. And my leg, I just had a dead leg. And he walked out of the fucking room. And he left me in there. And I was just crying like crazy. Not bloody murder, but just like sobbing. And my uncle came in. And he saw me and I was just on the ground and I couldn't get up. And my uncle's just like, hey, what's going on? Can you get up? And I go, no, I can't walk. And he goes, what happened? And he freaked out, right? He's looking to see if anything fell on me, and I didn't want to say anything until finally he got it out of me. And I told him that my dad, like, he kicked me, and he just fucking, my uncle lost his fucking mind. Like, my dad was no longer allowed to come into the studio after that for a while. My uncle was a very forgiving person at the time. It's just like my dad would just fucking lose his shit and just go completely overboard. He would be extremely hyperbolic on his reactions. Like, bombastic. And that was the thing, like my parents, they never really took the time to just sit with their feelings. They had to express them outwardly all the time. And they never stopped to think that I'm giving one set of emotions to one people, like one sect of people, which are strangers, and I'm giving another set of emotions to some, you know, to the people that are closest to me, and that's violence. And what I'm noticing about people like Mel and Destiny is they do the exact same shit. They give one set of emotions to people that they like, and then another set of emotions. Like, dude, if you've ever heard Destiny argue somebody who is a liberal, completely forgiving, completely passive, he's almost like trying to teach them. Like Sneeko, like he talks to him now like he's trying to teach him. And when he argues with fucking conservatives and everybody else that he doesn't like, he's completely fucking rude. Very passive-aggressive. Doing exactly the same shit that Mel just did. Has the same psychotic smile. And here's the thing. Whenever you pull a gotcha on Destiny, he tries to play it low. He tries to play it, like, downplay it. Like, okay, well, do you want me to explain or do you want that little gotcha? Like, oh, wow, I gotcha. Right? And then when you do go for the gotcha, he goes, oh, wow, look at you. Look at you go. You're just enjoying that fucking, oh, wow. Like, he does that stupid bullshit. He becomes childish himself. And it's not even just being insufferable, because that's what people compare him to. Here's the thing. He realizes the apex of debating. And this is why I compare fucking debating to pussies. They've never fucking been shot at, beaten, kicked. Nothing's ever happened to them. Destiny will sit there and tell you, oh, I've been into plenty of fights, right? And then when he says that there's no point in it, that means he's never, ever been in a fucking fight. Because everything comes full circle when you've fought for so long. Eventually you reach this apex of like, fuck dude, I felt every amount of pain or measurement of pain on every section of my body. And the apex is that there is no pain. You just, like, there is no, excuse me, there's no metric to the pain. There is just pain. Like, you reach, like, this philosophical bullshit inside your head where you're, like, you come full circle. And Destiny's never fucking gone there. He's never felt that. It's like when I was with my dad, when I reached that apex, it was like, there is no punishment. There is just my dad's emotion. And that can easily be triggered. And there's no way around that. And that's why I need to leave. Like, when you come to that philosophical understanding of who your enemy is, you almost feel sorry for him. Like, they're trapped in their own emotions. Destiny never fucking... He never, ever, ever felt that. You know what his full circle is with debating? There's just words. That's it. So he knows the right shit to fucking pull to hurt somebody because he's reached that level of apex. And when anybody fucking tries to get him, he laughs about it because it doesn't hurt him anymore. He's been hurt and fucked around with and fucked with in so many different ways, he just doesn't care anymore. That's why debating is, to me, it's comparative to pussies. Because they'll never, ever, ever have like an actual physical confrontation with anyone. Then they'll call you an idiot for not wanting to fucking, you know, talk about shit and all this other... dude, talking is garbage. Unless it's negotiations, which is actual fucking, you know, takes finesse and tact. And here's the other thing about negotiation. You have to make the other person feel as though they're the ones that came up with the idea. How about fucking that? It's a skill. It's fucking hard. It's not easy. And you gotta make them feel good about their decision, too. So not only did they come up with the idea, they gotta feel good about it. That is fucking hard. Like, the full circle, like, to negotiations that I've discovered from Chris Voss, and he gave it away. He's not the type of person that's like, under my tutelage, you must learn. No, he just gives it to you. There's no such thing as a hard negotiation. You're just not trying hard enough. The harder you try, you will get them to break. Some may break, some might take a little longer than others, but they will break. And the ones that are the toughest, you just gotta chip away at them. One negotiation at a time. And make them count. Sometimes you gotta play the long game with certain negotiations. And that's what fucking blows my mind away about Chris Voss, is that he's just so willing to give his tutelage to people. Whether you pay for it or not. And, what's his name? You know, Destiny. He wants you to fucking just go through all this emotional abuse. Like, I guess every teacher's different. But the thing is that, you know, Destiny loves to use psychological and narcissistic abuse, which is gaslighting and reframing. You know, you still got to turn out to be the bad guy at the end. And here's the thing. If you were to say, so are you implying that this and this and this? No. That's not what I'm saying. I guarantee that if Myron were to try to outline Melina's bullshit, she would have nowhere to go. The more you outline it, the more you call it out, in other words. Like, oh, I see what you're doing. Like, what you're doing is this, this, and this. Sorry, I was coming up with an epiphany. I mean, for those of you who are on the other side of this wondering, like, why the fuck is he talking about Destiny again? It's because this is fucking, this style of abuse is the same shit that we all deal with on a daily fucking basis. With our ex-spouses, with our wives, with our colleagues, co-workers. I'm telling you, dude, the more you watch somebody that you hate, or that you dislike strongly, or that you despise, the more you start to see your other abusers in these people. There's a reason why you can't stand them and you've never met them before. It's because they remind you of every motherfucker on planet Earth, or a principle that you do not stand by. It's like predators, rapists, and pedophiles, right? You can't stand them and yet you've never met them before. It's because they stand by a fucking ideology that you don't. God damn, I hope so. Oh no, that's an ambulance. Like, fuck. Sorry, I heard people talking loud and I heard an ambulance and I was like, fuck, dude, we're about to have a shootout. The middle of my video. In any case, there's a reason for that. Why I fucking constantly quote Destiny and I constantly see him. And again, like, I don't agree with them 100%, but there are times when I'm like, wow, that was some pretty sound advice. You can even find gold and shit if you try hard enough. But my point is that with people like Destiny, right? I see this shit all the fucking time. and that is, excuse me, fucking, I was about to sneeze. I see this shit all the fucking time, man. They try really hard to impress others with their fucking intellect and, you know, all this other bullshit. They're no different than the, how do I explain this? Him and his wife are no different than the very fucking people that I used to surround myself with. They're pseudo-college intellectuals posing as the higher moral authority while simultaneously living this debaucherous attitude or this debaucherous lifestyle and posing it as a higher sense of morality because they embrace it and they're self-aware. See, I've dealt with this shit for years. And that's the reason, like, why everybody thought I was so intellectual was because I was self-aware. That doesn't make you intellectual. Like, what would people say? God, you're so mature. And I was like, yeah, no shit. Like, I know I am. Well, at least you're self-aware. What made you create it? And then they would start poking my brain. It's like, dude, I had to take care of my fucking parents. Well, you know, when my dad left the picture, I had to take care of my mom and my stepdad. They were both on drugs. Constantly fucking Vicodin the fuck out. They would just knock out. And I'd have to fish food out of their mouth so that they wouldn't choke. I had to, you know, get them dressed for bed so that they would fucking sleep comfortably. That changes a man. I had to be the little man of the house. And then when I was living with my dad, I had to be his fucking caretaker too. So it's just like, there was no escape. I couldn't just be me. Music was the only thing that helped me escape. And when I learned how to play it, it was like another planet. It was like another language. But imagine having to fucking endure abuse in that language. Then it's like, okay, well, fuck music then. So after that, I just, excuse me. After that, I just like, fuck this, dude. I want to enjoy my childhood since I didn't get to have it. The Peter Pan syndrome. And that lasted for years. Still slowly dealing with it. Like now it's dormant. But it comes out every once in a while. But, you know, when I'm told, you know, you act so immature, and I look at him and I'm like, dude, do you know my life? If not, I think you should shut up. Because I've had to deal with a lot in my lifetime. And they just don't get it. They don't fucking get it. Well, in any case, that's enough. Let's see if there's any more.
Women typically get in line when you have other women in line. You'd be surprised at how being in your frame, women will go ahead and follow you.
Do you think that sounds healthy? Or does it sound a little toxic?
Well, they wouldn't be in a relationship with him if it wasn't healthy.
You caught that, right? She was gearing, she was winding up for
it. I don't think most women
would
want to
be that.
Should just feel like...
How being in your frame, women will go ahead and follow you.
Do you think that sounds healthy?
You saw that little score inch of a face and she's smiling. And then she's saying it. She's saying it, right? In terms of an empathetic, there's no charge. There's no charge to the, for those of you who are wondering, you know, what charge is, like, there's no fucking stank on it. And then all of a sudden it gets stanky. Watch.
Or does it sound a little toxic?
Look at that. And then she asks the question and then...
You want to be in a relationship?
You see? She fucking asks the question and then she answers it. You think it's a little toxic? I think it's a little toxic. Why are you asking the question? If you're going to answer it. So that means she's already got the fucking answer in her head and then she's rephrasing it in terms of a question. So that's her tell. So then you fucking outline it. You rephrase it. You frame it. You frame it in terms of So the question that you're asking is this, and what I'm assuming that the answer that you're looking for is this. And then it's like, am I correct in that assumption? And as soon as they fucking say yes, and then they fucking try to nail you for it, it's like, yeah, but that's not where I'm. That's not the direction I'm going. So you're fighting. You're fighting phantoms. Like, you are your own worst enemy in this case. Like, you're trying to hate me. You're trying to fucking... You're literally trying to, like, demoralize and, you know, like, I'm not into this for abuse. Like, you're trying to fucking psychologically and mentally or emotionally abuse me. That's not what I'm here for. Like, I'm not even here for a debate. That's the fucking thing. Well, Myron likes debating. I don't know. He's into that gay shit.
I don't think
it wasn't healthy.
I don't think most women they didn't like would want to be that. To just feel like a constant stress of being replaced. Do you guys want to be replaced? Like, feel like replacement is a thing in your relationship?
Wait, hold on. How it's abusive for a woman to constantly be under that type of stress where they constantly need to feel replaced. Or they're under the constant threat of being replaced, right? That's what she said. Like, bitch, you have been literally abusing the man on stage the entire time that you were talking to him. Do you see what I mean? They live by two sets of standards. And like I said, Myron should have framed that a lot better. And throughout the entire time, by the way, if you were to watch this, everybody kept saying to kick her out. Because they knew that her type of behavior is toxic. And here's the thing. Destiny did like a whole 4-hour stream on it, just talking about it. Backing up her fucking dumbass behavior. I guarantee you that if I were to talk to her like that, her, you know, in front of Destiny, Destiny would have something to say about it. So why is it that when these women speak up for Myron, she gets combative and defensive again, or against them, as you're about to see?
Relationships, yeah. I get replaced.
Most women are not in open relationships. That is absolutely not true.
Well, the stats show. I know a lot of
there's no stats that shows that most people are in an open relationship.
Let me talk, bro. Please. Most women are in open relationships. They just don't know it because he's stepping out. At least Myron is
so
honest
cheating.
Enough. Hold on.
So
is honest
cheating.
Enough to say.
They don't know. So she's
hold
cheating.
On.
Can you let
is,
her talk?
Can I freaking say a word? Shiva. Like, Shiva. Is honest enough to say, hey, you're going to be one of three. Yes or no? And they're going to say yes because they know what type of value he is, what type of man he comes to the table with.
You know, it's really funny. Points this out or whatever, and she's like, at least he's open about it. Well, here's the thing. Before this segment, all these women were up there talking about what they did for a living, and everybody kind of like pokes fun at the porn star, pokes fun at the escort, pokes fun at the fucking, you know, the single mom. And the moment that they poked fun of Mel's open marriage, she fucking got defensive. So how is this woman gonna fucking sit there and poke at Myron's life when she's got an open marriage? So you know, everybody took their fucking blows in stride, even the woman in white right now who's speaking. Like, wow, you're 40 years old and you're a perfect woman? Like, what took you so long to get so perfect? Basically, she's a sex addict who preaches about sex and... she's Indian, I think. I don't know. She's my type. I like Indian women. I'm fucking weird like that. I like their fingers to smell like curry and shit when they jack me off. In any case, when Mel is poked fun at, she needs to fucking like fire back immediately. But when everybody, but then she runs around poking fun at everybody for being like, ah, ha, ha, Like, look at me. I've got an open marriage. And you guys can't handle that. You guys are insecure. And then the moment that they make fun of her for her moral choices and for being fucking basically, you know, targeted by an older man, she becomes defensive. So it's like whenever she disagrees with something, totally fucking fine, totally fucking fun to talk about and discuss and make fun of. And the moment you make fun of her, she loses her fucking mind.
Being present, providing, protecting.
Here's the thing. Most women are going to leave.
Let me ask the audience a question.
Listen. No. Most women are absolutely not going to be in
Melina, Adam. I might Frank Castle you at this point. Like, I might do it.
See what I mean? He's trying to talk. He's trying to get a word in edgewise. And then as soon as he's calling her attention, she fucking talks to him. Like, she answers back with that narcissistic smile.
Going to leave.
Let me ask the audience a question.
Listen. No. Most women are absolutely not going to be in
Melina,
Adam.
I might...
You see that? And she's trying to fucking laugh it off to try to lessen the blow of what she's doing. But she knows what she's doing. This is the type of psychological shit that I keep telling people about. I keep warning people about stuff like this. And I'm so glad that she brought it up. It's the narcissistic smile. Or what is it? What did I used to call it? The duper's delight? That's the other one. Like, they're telling you something and then they smile and laugh about it because they know that they're not going to keep promises with that. And they can't fucking help it but show it in their face. The duper's delight. It's even in the word. Jesus Christ. Such a 1940s fucking term, but goddamn was it AccuDrip.
I'd Frank Castle you at this point. Like, I might do it.
Really?
You can talk when you're talking, but when I'm going to talk and ask the question to our awesome audience here is when you go on mute.
And the reason why she needs to feel like she's so combative, and I wish I would have fucking saved the clip or saved the timestamp. The reason why I wish I would have fucking saved it. What was I on? Where she said, I need to argue. Like, I need to feel pushback. I would have explored that. Like, what's the cause? Why do you need pushback? First off, if you need to push back, the only time you should push back is when you're being attacked. And if somebody doesn't like it when you push back after they're criticizing you and shit, and that's somebody that you definitely need to stay away from. Because those people are emotional. But you know, like, on a tier list of people to stay away from, this is tier one. Stay the fuck away from them. They're just draining. My friend is like that. He loves to argue. He loves to debate. He loves just... for fucking anything. Even the smallest shit. That's why I stopped talking to him. I mean, we're still friends, but I just can't fucking talk to him because he's just like, I gotta wait for him to change. But he loves to argue. He loves to debate. He loves to just get into these fucking long-winded, like, hateful debates. Heated debates. And when she said it, she's like, well, I need to feel challenged at all times. It's like, why? What's up with that psychological abuse that you like to put yourself through? What caused it? And it was because, I'm assuming, her parents used to do that shit to her. Whenever she would just decide that she didn't want to do something, her parents would just psychologically abuse her into fucking doing it anyway. And so she's used to that type of fucking mentality where that's love. And I guarantee you that the fucking open relationship wasn't her original idea. I fucking guarantee it. Or how about this? Let's say that it was because of fucking, I don't know, all these chicks, they love to sexually abuse each other as kids. For example, I was in high school, and I was dating this girl. And she told me that her best friend pinned her up against the locker room one day and just kissed her. She was like, yeah, she did it, like, against my will. We were just walking, and then all of a sudden she's like, hey, and then she fucking pins her, like, you know. She calls my girlfriend's attention, my girlfriend looks at her, and then she pins her up against the locker room and tries to kiss her. She's like, whoa, what the fuck? And she kind of, like, slipped out of it. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, oh, I wanted to kiss you. She's like, no, dude, what the fuck? That's weird. Yeah, women will try to fucking sexually abuse each other. As a matter of fact, one of my best friends told me that. That when they got drunk, her lesbian friend just immediately just started fucking just going down to town on my friend. And she's like, whoa, at first it was really weird. Like, I didn't like it. But then, it's like they gotta do gay shit to each other. So they sexually abuse each other. They psychologically abuse each other. They do all this shit to each other. So is it any wonder why Melina is the way that she is? Psychologically traumatized. And it's funny because, like, she fits the perfect description of a woman that I would fucking champion. But her character and personality absolutely disgust me so much that it trumps anything that she's got. Her looks, her body, her fucking style, everything, her character, all that shit immediately gets shut down by who she is as a person. My fucking attraction to her is just like, it went from absolutely fucking digging her. I was like, holy shit, that's Destiny's wife? Fuck, dude, she's beautiful. And he looks like a fucking sack of shit. And then I heard her, speak, and I was like, oh, God. It's Destiny 2.0. It's absolutely fucking sickening. And here's the thing about women that are like her. That are so proud that have, like, learned their black belt from their boyfriends or their husbands. Even Patrice O'Neal's woman said this. Careful, ladies, because you're gonna reveal your boyfriend's secrets the more you try to act like your boyfriend. The more you try to act like your man, you're gonna reveal his secrets. And what I mean is their weaknesses. You're going to reveal their tactic to manipulate and persuade. And I see it all the time with her. She uses money, power, and all this other shit to try to persuade people. And her fame and her sexuality to persuade people to do shit for her. Which just goes to show that he does the exact same thing to her. So who's the real fucking chump here? Right? She'll make fun of you for living the life that you want to live. And so will Destiny, but the moment that you open and make fun of their open relationship, they fucking lose it. They become so defensive. She starts talking like Destiny at like a million miles an hour. It's fucking funny. Her attitude completely changes. Her posture completely changes. Her demeanor completely changes. She starts fighting people for the sake of fighting and not because, you know, of whatever reason. She's a fucking child in an adult's body. Sad. In any case, guard your heart.